Welcome to the March issue of the AES Journal. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. This is a special issue that concentrates on the topic of music-induced hearing disorders, inspired by a recent international conference on the topic. As the guest editors Dorte Hammershøi and Rodrigo Ordonez explain in their introduction, one of the consequences of amplified music is the increased use of hearing protection at music events. This seems to fly in the face of a wish to listen clearly to music, but the risks of hearing damage may be considerable without it, as the sound levels often exceed recommended levels. There is also a need for technical solutions to the problems brought about by personal music players, and the editors point to the challenge of finding methods to determine the potential risks in these situations. Finally, there is a need to make hearing aids more successful when listening to music, as they have traditionally been optimized for communications first and foremost. The first research paper in this special issue deals with this last subject, that is, the listener experience of hearing aids, in particular when enjoying music. Professor Emeritus Brian Moore from Cambridge University in the UK considers the limited bandwidth available for typical hearing aids and notes that they typically don't compensate for things like reduced frequency selectivity, loss of inner hair cells, synapses, and neurons. Some of the artifacts they produce and the frequency shifting sometimes employed make listening to music troublesome. Moore looks into recent wide bandwidth devices and asks what the best use of these might be. Johannes Mulder offers a study of amplified music and sound level management, arguing that multidisciplinary approaches are needed to tackle a problem that arises at the crossroads between technology, culture, and society. The best approaches arise from procedures and policies that take into account multiple stakeholder perspectives which need to be reconciled. The attitudes of ensemble musicians towards risks of hearing damage and the use of protection are examined by Ian O'Brien and Elizabeth Beach. Orchestral and band musicians reported similar degrees of hearing loss, but band musicians were less likely to see a risk or wear protection. Pipe band musicians showed the greatest losses, but were also most aware of the risks and the most likely to use protection among the band players. Brass players were least aware of the risk and were also reluctant to use protection. In conclusion, the authors recommend the education of band musicians and hearing care providers, as well as the further optimization of musician earplugs. Do louder performances sound better? This is the controversial question asked by Avo Ren Teraping in his paper on listener preferences for concert sound levels. The answer seems to be, like most things, up to a point, because overall pleasantness of the experience seemed to improve as the level went up and then fell back again as it got still louder. The most important factor affecting this was fidelity or the naturalness of the sound. Concert listeners were found mainly to complain about excessively loud sound in surveys, as opposed to overquiet sound, which is perhaps not surprising, as the opportunity to experience the latter is rare. Earlier this year, a conference was held in Belgium on the reverberation and de-reverberation of audio, music, and speech. A considerable number of researchers from around the world gathered to share the results of their work on the topic, the theme having been stimulated by a European project known as DREAMS. You can read a detailed report on the proceedings in this month's journal, offering a chance to catch up on everything that took place. You'll also find a call for contributions to a special journal issue on the same topic, inviting the broader audio community to offer papers for consideration. Looking to the early summer, we present a preview of the 140th convention that is coming up in Paris. The beautiful early days of June provide a forum for the world's audio professionals to meet together and learn in one of Europe's most beautiful capitals, with the theme of immersive and binaural audio being at the top of the agenda. Make sure to book your place soon. Francis Rumsey's feature article this month asks whether we can expect to get a quart from a pint pot when it comes to loudspeaker design. As transducers get smaller and smaller, for mobile devices in particular, there is a need to get the most out of them without destroying them, and various novel approaches are reviewed. There's also the interesting question of whether coating your tweeters with various things makes any difference to the sound quality, and we find some evidence that it might not be worth the trouble. You'll find all this, plus a book review and our regular news coverage in the March issue of the AES Journal. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.